We're going to continue in our year-long series on questions from heaven, the questions that God and Jesus ask us, not only in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And today's question is found in Matthew, and it's a pretty quick question. You get to give him the answer. He says, "Do you think that by worrying you can add an hour to your life?" And yet we worry all the time. There's some Christians that even brag about how much they worry as a badge of honor. We're gonna unmask today what worry really is. And at the end of our time together, I'm hoping that we're gonna walk out full of faith, putting our full trust in Him. Let's look at some famous people and what they say about worry. Francis Chan says this: "Worry implies that we don't quite trust God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what's happening in our lives." Thomas Merton says, "Anxiety is the mark of spiritual insecurity. It's the fruit of unanswered questions." And Oswald Chambers says, "It is not only wrong to worry, it's infidelity, because worrying means that we do not think that God can look after the practical details of our lives." According to recent research, the top 10 worry list, this is not on the screen, but number one, the first thing we worry about is money, finances. Second thing we worry about as Christians and as Americans is our health. Third, which is interesting, the environment. People are worrying about the environment. I think that's good. Number four is politics. That's not surprising. Five is our job or our career. Number six is safety. Number seven, this is not a surprise, people are worried about being alone, loneliness. Number eight, global conflict, with nuclear warheads all over. People are worried about global conflict. Number nine, technology. Number 10, I can agree with this one, getting old. And then I would add number 11, I think family issue, family dynamics. There's a lot to worry about. I want you to go in your Bible to Luke chapter 10, and this is not on the screen, this is all new, but I'm gonna discuss what worry is, but we're gonna look at a story in Luke chapter 10 real quick. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. Amen. I asked you to identify what you're worried about, and it's probably in those top 11. We're not gonna add a single hour to our life by worrying, and yet we spend so much time being anxious about the global conflict, technology, getting old, money, getting sick, being lonely. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "And as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha," everyone say Martha. "She opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted." Circle that word, distracted. "With all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Martha, Martha." Now, whenever God says your names twice, you're in trouble. And I was going to look up how many times God says someone's name twice, but he says it several times. Scott, Scott. You just know you're in trouble, and he's setting her up. Martha, Martha. You're worried and upset. I want you to notice that worry and being upset, they connect about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary's chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Here is a story of Martha and Mary, and there's a couple things I want you to notice in this verse of Scripture. Like, Martha gets the bad rap. But she was the one who opened her home to Jesus. So we got to give her a little bit of credit. She was a worrywart, but yet she was the one who opened her home to Jesus. I think that's admirable. Imagine you getting a text right now at 11:15 saying that Jesus or the president or Pastor Scott was going to come to your house for dinner tonight. I think you would take that pretty serious and you would like start to freak out, start to worry, start to panic. What are we going to eat? Have I vacuumed? Is all the dirty clothes put away? What about the yard? What about the... And you start to worry. And I think that's what happened to Martha. She's not a bad person. I mean, she opened her home to Jesus. And Jesus comes on the scene and Martha just gets upset because she's anxious. She's concerned with all the details that had to be made. And that word there in Luke chapter 10 is interesting. Martha was distracted. It's an interesting word. That word there means to be cumbered. It means to be led astray. It means to be driven around mentally, to be distracted. There's nothing worse than distractions. Think about when I'm golfing and I'm getting ready to tee off. There's a lot of tension in the air. And as I'm on the tee box, number one, I mean, my goal is to keep my knees bent, my head down, my elbow in, shoulder twisted, and I'm trying to concentrate. And the worst thing that can happen when you're golfing is to get distracted. Messes up everything. And Martha was messed up because she allowed herself to get distracted. She allowed herself, watch this, to be drawn away, to be pulled. I'm not going to do that today, but I can just imagine a rope around your waist and me just distracting you, pulling you away, drawing you away. And that's what happens when we give in to worry. We're supposed to be concentrating on the thing that really matters. If you're golfing, you want to hit it down the fairway. If you're following Jesus, it's to be a disciple of Him and to focus on Him and to seek first His kingdom. Yet, every single day we're getting drawn. We're getting cumbered. We're getting pulled away mentally from the things that really matter. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you're upset. It affects us. It affects our production. It affects how we treat people. It affects our attitude. And I'm afraid that a lot of us here today were a lot like Martha. What we held in our hand, we just didn't have one. We had five or six. We got a handful of worries. And we're distracted. We're being pulled in so many different directions. My goal here today is real simply to unmask what worry really is. This thing has been on our fireplace mantle for 20 years. It's handmade. It's from Venice. Tammy, I got this when we went to a wedding we were invited to. My old girlfriend's wedding. Some of you just woke up. You slept through the whole thing. And now you hear that Pastor Scott had a girlfriend and brought his wife to. Yeah, we went to my old girlfriend's wedding, and she gave us one of these, each party. There's only like 20 people in this wedding. Every one of us had one of those canoes, gondolas, boats with a private driver. And we were all escorted to a castle. It was incredible. A castle. And we got one of these handmade masks and went to the beautiful ceremony and had a beautiful dinner afterwards. It was fantastic. Expensive. I feel bad because she got divorced 2 years later. But anyway. These masks, I saw this on my mantle. I thought, well, I got to talk about that because I want to unmask fear. The history behind these masks is they would wear these for community celebrations and festivals, and they would put them on so they could be camouflaged, so they could be disguised. They could riot and picket and complain about politics and about all the things that are going on in the world, and nobody would notice them. And what I want to do today in these next few moments is I want to unmask what worry really is. Because we have come up with a bunch of excuses for why we should worry. And as we unmask what worry really is, we're going to come to a new revelation of what worry really is. And hopefully it's going to keep us from worrying, and it's going to help us to live by faith. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. Amen. So let's unmask just for a few moments. Let's stop hiding behind the camouflage. Let's stop hiding behind the cloaks, and let's identify what worry really is. And number one, you're going to see in your notes, the first thing that I'm going to talk about today is worry. And what number one, worry is pride. Everyone say pride. Pride. I've got a mask here for each one of these points, and worry is pride. We've been led by the excuse, and we say, oh, it's not worry, Pastor Scott. It's called being prepared. And really, worry is the ultimate sign of pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Tim Keller says, worry is the secret arrogance of the person who believes that he can run the universe better than God. And when you worry, I'm going to unmask it today, it's actually pride. God, I got this. God, you know, I went to school, I got a great education, I got a lot of money, and I got this figured out. And we've masked what worry really is. And really, worry is the ultimate sign of pride. God, I'm big enough and bad enough, I can handle this myself. Are you with me? Amen. Worry is pride's way of saying, God, you're not doing this right, let me take over. Hopefully you don't know anybody like that. Worry is pride. Number two, worry is unbelief. Here's another mask that we have been led to believe. Worry is unbelief. And you say, come up with a wonderful excuse, and you say, it's called being realistic, when reality is really worry. John Piper says this, worry is practical atheism and functional unbelief. It acts as if God doesn't exist. Worry is the interest we pay on debt we do not owe, and the debt is trusting God. Worry is unbelief. Number three, what is really worry? Worry is, and here's another mask, worry is idolatry. And the lie that you believe is that I don't want to leave anything to chance. It's called worry, and it's called idolatry. Matthew chapter 6, look at that verse of scripture. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Worry is idolatry. Worry is worshiping the problem instead of worshiping the problem solver. I love what David Tripp says. Whatever you worry about the most is what you really worship. Because you give your best attention, your sleepless nights, and your emotional devotion. Number four, here's another mask. Worry is really self-reliance. Past experiences is your excuse. Tell me to be careful, and we are self-reliance, and worry is really self-reliance. John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Worry is self-reliance. Number five, worry is ingratitude. Ingratitude. You say your excuse is, I'd rather be overcautious than caught off guard. That's an excuse, and that's a lie. Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The worst thing about worry is that it makes you forget the goodness of God. Worry is a thin stream of fear that grows when we stop counting our blessings. Number six, you still with me? Worry is rebellion. Worry is rebellion. I'm not worried about it. I'm just thinking ahead. That's an excuse we come up with. Worry is rebellion. I want you to notice the verse in Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry. What is that? That's a command. And when we worry, we're in rebellion. Rick Warren says, worry is disobeying a direct command from the King of the universe while calling it being responsible. John Calvin says, to worry is to rebel against the word of Christ, who said, do not worry about tomorrow. And I love this one. Worrying is exhausting. How many know a little bit about exhausting? Worry is exhausting. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Worry says, you call it worry, I call it risk assessment. These are all lies and masks, and we're going to unmask them today. Worrying is exhausting. Corey Tim Boone says, as worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Glenn Turner says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere and wears you out in the process. And I love Mark Twain. I've lived a long life, had many troubles, most of which things have never happened. The worrying alone can exhaust me. I got in a car a couple years ago. Turned the car on, backed it up, went down the street, and I was 10 feet away from my driveway, and I heard this incredible noise that started to shake the entire automobile. It's only three streets away from the stop sign. In those few seconds, worry gripped me and it became exhausting. I thought to myself, oh my God, we just lost our transmission. The air is out. Something's wrong with the wheels. Something's wrong with the engine. And I hadn't gone a few feet and worry had so exhausted me because of the noise that was in my car. And I thought, oh, we can't afford another repair. I can't believe this. This is amazing. I mean, new transmissions, it's going to be thousands of dollars. And I just convinced myself in a matter of seconds, and I allowed worry just to exhaust me, that this problem that I was dealt with suddenly was a major catastrophe. So I got to the stop sign, got out, looked underneath the car, and it was a twig that was underneath my car that caused me to be exhausted, fearful, worried, and that's what happens with worry. It's exhausting. And we as believers need to address and unmask what worry really is. It's rebellion. We're leaning in like Martha, and we're getting distracted by all these things, and we need to unmask what worry is and say, God, I want to live by faith, and I want to put my trust in you. Can I get an amen? So let me give you real quickly ways that you can overcome worry. If you're here today, you've ever had to worry. Can I see your hand? Yeah, all of us. We're going to look at how to live by faith and not to allow worry to dominate our life. Number one, I call this confession time. How to overcome worry? Number one, name it out loud. Let's not hide behind these masks that we have created and come up with excuses, calling it risk assessment, when really it is rebellion, it is pride. We got to confess it and say, God, I'm worried about running out of money. I confess, God, that this is bothering me, and I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to get pulled away. God, I confess today that I'm worried about being alone. God, I confess today that I'm worried about global warming. Whatever it is, confess what it is. That's how you're going to overcome it. If you're a mom here today and you're worried and you're stressed and anxious about something happening to your kids, confront it, address it, deal with it. I call this confession time. Name it out loud. Are y'all with me? If we confess our sin, the Bible says, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number two, if you're faced with worry after you've confessed, number two, pray with thanksgiving. I call this the Philippians factor. Pray with thanksgiving. Take a few minutes out and just focus on God's goodness, His grace, His kindness, and shift your focus from what you're worried about to focusing on how big God is. He's a big God. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is David and Goliath. I love it for a couple of reasons. What I like most about the story of David and Goliath, David, unlike all the adults who gave up and quit and were afraid of Goliath, David had the ability, watch this, to see Goliath, but he had the ability to look beyond the bigness of Goliath and see how big God really is. See, I'm worried that you've got a problem that you're concerned about and anxious about, and you've convinced yourself how big it really is, and it's really just a stick. It's not that big a deal. Get out, look what it is, confess it, and begin to live with thanksgiving and say, God, I choose today to lift you bigger than any problem I'm dealing with. I want to be like David. I'm going to lift my eyes. That's why the Bible says, lift your eyes to the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Let's be like David this week. Let's lift our eyes beyond our problem, beyond what we were worried about, and see that God is a big God, and He can take care of it when we offer thanksgiving and put our trust in Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number three, I call this the boundary effect. Separate what you can control and what you can't. There are some things that are out of your control, and you're spending all this energy worrying about it, and you can't do anything about it. And worrying is not going to change it. Separate the things that you can control and separate the things you can't. Matthew 6, this is our scripture. Can you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Quit focusing and worrying about the things you can't control and focus on what you can control. Number four, are y'all with me? Show 60 seconds of kingdom kindness. I like this. I call this the kingdom connection. Here it is. If you're worried and you're exhausted all this energy, focus on how big God is, and then watch this. Do something good for somebody else. Take 60 seconds. Send an email, send a text, place a phone call, and watch this. Shift the focus off of you and off of what you're worrying about and find somebody who's in more trouble than you are and help them. See, sometimes are y'all with me? I think sometimes we get so self-focused and so selfish and so worried about all the things that are happening to us that we're missing out on a beautiful opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. Step out of your comfort zone. Do something nice. Do something for somebody else. And you'll find that your focus will no longer be on you and what you're worried about, because now God is ministering you to be a light in a dark world. Do something for somebody. I call it the kingdom connection. Maybe it's this week, pulling out that kids card of all the kids that are camp. Instead of you focusing on all the things you're worried about, take 60 seconds out and pray for a kid, pray for a child, pray for a volunteer. What is that? That's taking the focus off of yourself and it's putting it on other people. The 60-second kingdom kindness. Number five, Live by faith. Live by faith. I call this the trust zone. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. The righteous will live by faith. Make your decision that you are not going to spend your energy, your focus, your time focusing on all these things that you're worried about. How about make the decision today that you're going to live by faith and say, God, I trust you. I call it the trust factor. Trusting in God, in God alone. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to hear thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Beautiful hymn of the church. Somebody who is faced with difficulty and pain and sorrow wrote that song for Belle Isle Community Church. And they would say to us today, you know, most of the hymns, you guys know, were written out of heartache, written out of pain, written out of extreme difficulty. But they wrote that song as a testimony to you today. Live by faith. Don't get caught up. Don't get distracted. Don't get pulled away by the things that are really needed. Put your trust in God alone. It is sweet when you come to that place that I'm not going to worry about the environment. I'm not going to worry about nuclear bombs. I'm not going to worry about Iran. I'm not going to worry about Russia. I'm not going to worry about Ukraine. I'm not going to worry about the stock market. I'm not going to worry about the IPO SpaceX. I'm going to put my trust in God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Would you stand up across the auditorium just for a few moments? So what you're worried about? Are you gonna continue to hide behind these excuses that justify our behavior and come up with a bunch of lies and excuses why we like to worry? I love that one. Risk assessment. Oh, really? It's called pride. It's called rebellion. And God's word gives us the beautiful ability to unmask for what it really is. And say, God, I'm worshiping another idol because I'm worried about money. And I need to be focused on you. I asked you at the beginning of this service to put that one thing that you're worried about. And this is what we're going to do here in just a few moments. You're going to cast all your care on him because he cares for you. You worried about being lonely? You worried about running out of money? You worried about dying of cancer? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Cast, take that care and cast it as far away from you as possible because he cares for you. When I see that word cast, I'm a fisherman. When I think of cast and I'm fishing, I'm thinking I'm going to try to take this lure and throw it as far away of me as possible. I'm not dropping it at my feet. I'm trying to get that thing way out in the ocean or wherever so I can have enough room between us to catch a fish. That's what I think of when I hear cast. And that's what I want you to think of. I don't want you to conveniently, watch this, place it at your feet so you can pick it back up again. That's not what this is about. This is about casting all your care on him and get that thing as far away from you as possible. Why? Because he cares for you. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with Iran. I don't know what's going to happen with the stock market. I don't know what's going to happen in politics. I'm choosing today to live a life of faith and to put my trust in him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we're holding in our hands something that we've been hanging on to for a long time. We've gotten used to it. It's become our friend. People see it all over us, and we pretend that it's not there, and we hide behind masks to justify why we live in worry and fear. I pray today that you would help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to identify that one worry that's gripping us and to simply let it go. We're going to give it to you. We're not going to pick it back up again. We're going to cast it on you because you care for us. Help us, God, to be a people, a church, disciples that are living by faith. Doesn't mean we're reckless. Doesn't mean we're just... It just means that our focus, like Mary, is on you, and we're not going to be distracted by any other thing. So help us today to put our trust in you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. It's 11:42. I'm going to leave you with this one thought before you leave. You guys know I'm going to do this. You know it. Pastor Scott, what does Martha's name mean? Now, I know that's kind of funny, and it's become a joke around here. If you've learned nothing from my ministry over these 16 years, hopefully I have taught you that when you read God's word, dig, and you'll find jewels. You'll find diamonds if you just dig a little bit. You've been in church all your life. You've never heard this, so I'm getting ready to tell you. You've been a Methodist for 60 years, and you don't even know what Martha's name means. Her name means rebellion. Yeah. Don't get mad at me, the messenger. Rebellion. When you spend too much time worrying about climate change or who's in office or how much money you have, it's rebellion. It's serious. And that's why I've taken a few minutes out today to unmask it, what it really is, because it's really serious. What Jesus was saying to Martha was, Martha, Martha, you're rebelling because you're worried too much. Be a little bit more like Mary and trust in Jesus. God bless you, church. I love you. It's a joy being your pastor. On the way out, grab a kid's card name in the back, and we'll see you next week. Go and sin no more. God bless you. Bye-bye.